Tri-County Contracting, worry-free roofing, siding, and windows. To sign up for a free estimate, get info on their worry-free roof tune-up or their free yearly roof inspections, or to get an instant roof quote, visit them online at tricountycontractingwi.com.
Let's go play ball.
But as a superstar, internationally known,
that
who
makes
brings
you feel better, yeah, and he brings, wants to stay, and
I mean, all kinds of things to the Bucks. I mean, think about what he has done.
Why do I always side with management? Right? I always side with management in the sports stuff.
Yeah, it's interesting. Actually, that's a whole different conversation.
Because here I don't.
So
I get in trouble.
Live from the Annex Wealth Management Studios at The Avenue in downtown Milwaukee, this is Wisconsin's Morning News. Here are your hosts, Eric Bilstad and Vince Vitrano.
8:13 on Wisconsin's Morning News. A couple of breaking stories out of Washington this morning. We'll get to the admiral expected to testify or at least speak with both Democratic and Republican leadership in Congress, but with some other breaking news.
Yeah.
This is January 6th related.
Mm-hmm. From this morning. Breaking news this morning from Washington. The FBI has made an arrest this morning in the nearly five-year-old investigation into who placed pipe bombs in Washington on the eve of the January 6th riot on the U.S. Capitol. The AP is reporting this. CNN is also reporting it. We have yet to hear from anyone official yet, but the arrest marks the first time investigators have settled on a suspect in this act that has long vexed law enforcement. I mean, there's been conspiracy theories all across, but they were never able to even know if it was a man or not. We're hearing that the suspect is a man. The arrest took place this morning. The pipe bombs, you may recall, were replaced the evening of January 5th, so the day before, near the offices of the Democratic and Republican National Committees. Now, nobody was hurt before the bombs were rendered safe, but the FBI has said that both devices could have been lethal had they gone off. That for years, they had trouble finding suspects. They would get tips. They were reviewing all kinds of video. There's been accusations that it was an inside job. Even from the current FBI deputy director, he has said that it was an inside job. All we know is that it's a man, probably 5'7" in height. But as of now, that's the only news we know from the Associated Press reporting this, that someone is in custody for the pipe bomb placement outside the RNC and DNC the day before the insurrection.
But what's interesting, you pointed this out when we were just setting this up as we came into the segment, is this arrest was this morning and we're already hearing about it. So you would expect if there's anything more that the administration is prepared to say, that will also happen maybe this morning.
Right.
Things move quick.
This administration moves really fast when it comes to news or breaking news, especially when it's something good.
Feels obviously. It serves
yes,
them. Right.
Right.
And this may.
And so you would expect, we've heard nothing yet from the feds, but you would expect that given that multiple networks and news agencies are citing people they know inside who say, yep, guy's in custody, that we'll hear from the administration at some point.
Remember, they're an hour ahead of us in Washington, so it's 9:15 there, and it appears that Admiral Mitch Bradley, Navy Admiral, who has reportedly issued orders for the U.S. military to fire upon survivors of an attack on an alleged drug boat, is on Capitol Hill now. Appears he has gone into the Capitol building where there are multiple meetings set for the admiral with leaders in both parties, as President Trump was asked this question directly by ABC News about this whole issue.
So to be clear, you support the decision to kill survivors after the
No, I support the decision to knock out the boats, and whoever's piloting those boats, most of them are gone, but whoever are piloting those boats, they're guilty of trying to kill people in our country.
We spoke earlier with ABC News White House correspondent Karen Travers about what we may learn today.
He did say that yesterday. And now I think the question is, does that actually happen? Of course. But the president, you heard him there saying that he would. He says whatever they have, we'd certainly release no problem. But he also says he doesn't know what they have. A lot of questions then about what comes next. My colleague also pushed him on the actual circumstances of that second strike. And she asked him, should Secretary Hegseth, Admiral Bradley, or others be punished if it's found that survivors were killed while clinging to the boat. And the president said, speaking more broadly, this is war, that these people are killing our people. And, you know, again, she pushed on the decision to kill survivors after the initial strike. He broadened it out, saying, I support the decision to knock out the boats. And that's what we've been hearing from the president for the last several days, not getting into the details, the specifics of this September 2nd strike, but talking more broadly about the administration's operations in the Caribbean, saying that this is necessary because this is preventing drugs from getting into the country. That is not what we're hearing from Capitol Hill. They want answers. They want specifics on this. And they have a lot of questions about this overall operation and mission, saying that there hasn't been an authorization by Congress when the president declares something like this is war.
Talking with Karen Travers, ABC News White House correspondent. So, Karen, the admiral in question here, Admiral Mitch Bradley, expected to meet with leaders in Washington today, both parties. Are we going to find out what's in there? I'm reading that these will be classified briefings.
They are. Yeah, these briefings are behind closed doors. We'll see what we can get from lawmakers after. We will, of course, be looking to talk to Admiral Bradley himself, but unlikely he will answer questions after. But we'll see if lawmakers are able to talk about any of the details that they hear behind closed doors. But that's going to be all day up on Capitol Hill, morning session and then an afternoon session.
It's Karen Travers reporting from Washington this morning. And again, as it appears, the admiral is on Capitol Hill. So what, if anything, comes of those meetings that is for public dissemination? We should find out within the next couple of hours.
So it comes on the same day of the breaking news where we now have a man in custody for the pipe bombs that were placed in Washington, D.C. the night before January 6th.
Are you suggesting there's some relationship to the news that may have?
I didn't say that at all. I just said that they're both happening at the
same
time.
Enough to raise an eyebrow. 8:19 on Wisconsin's Morning News.
Hey, you're going to like this news, Vince. 8:23. So the NAOP Office Space Demand Forecast is out.
I'm going to need a little clarification on what that is.
So NAOP is a group that looks into commercial real estate.
Okay. National Association of something.
Yeah.
Okay. That's all we need to know.
And the CEO is Mark Salvatelli.
And okay. What's Mark got?
He's saying that demand is up. People are working in the office again.
We've seen a slow build of return to office now for a number of months. But what we're seeing now is, for the first time in 3 years, positive net absorption in office space right now.
Yeah, so more and more people are starting to take up these spaces.
We are seeing companies continue to bring back, but they're using the space. And this isn't just in select markets. This is in markets through all four of the census areas throughout the country.
So that's really good news. You could say that's good news for any municipality. It's also good news for a lot of other shops and services that are in and around these office buildings.
You know, the dry cleaners, the restaurants, the bodegas, all of these are highly dependent upon people being in the office and then utilizing those services.
So what's behind this? Well, they say the return to office policy is more and more. That's becoming more normal again, more expectations of that. And that really is driving it.
Okay, I have several reactions to this story. First, I want to know when Seth Rogen first began talking about. Give me something from him again. Okay. Is that
commercial
Seth Rogen?
Real estate is a big source of tax base for a lot of.
Is it not?
Okay.
I think.
And he's high.
He's right about all of that stuff about how much that affects. I mean, you see how excited everybody in downtown gets when some business says, now we're moving downtown instead of being out in the suburbs because look out here at the food hall adjacent to where we work. How many more people are there for lunch every day? All of the things that you do in and around those spots. I also think you said I would like this story.
Yeah.
Another reason why I would like this story is I like big, tall buildings.
And you want more of those.
And I want more of those. And we got some spots for big, tall buildings. We just did the story earlier about how we might be, if not overbuilt, at the saturation point in terms of residential. Mm-hmm. So if we're not going to build a 40-story residential tower, you know, what about a big old office building somewhere? And there are some really good spots for that. I love when our skyline grows, but, you know, heretofore, at least the last, half decade post COVID, We haven't needed all that office space, so that's not been a premium thing to do.
When told that more and more people are still continuing to work via Zoom, Mark Salvatelli responded,
"What are we doing?"
No, no, that's not him. That's Seth Rogen.
I'm telling you, right? No, a little bit.
You think that sounds like
yeah.
this?
Commercial real estate is a big source of tax base for a lot of municipalities. So to have these buildings occupied, it continues to keep the values of those buildings strong, which of course provides the solid tax base for the municipality.
Again, so demand for commercial real estate is up. That's from NAIOP CEO Mark Salvatelli. And NAIOP, by the way, stands for Commercial Real Estate Development Association. So of course they have some skin in the game.
Sure.
And are happy to share news like
that.
That
report would be good for them.
Yes, yes, absolutely.
Were it the case. It is coming up on 8:30 here on Wisconsin's Morning News. Still to go here this program, and again, Eric and I are with you till 10 o'clock. We are going to get a little bit more into the Giannis controversy, what was said, what was not said, how bad is his injury. That is coming up later this hour. On the issue of housing and downtown real estate, we have this report of what they want to do, or at least one of the ideas they have for what happens when the Milwaukee Public Museum ultimately leaves its spot there on Wells Street. Okay, they're looking at probably tearing down that existing building, what they want to see go up there. That, and I have new information this morning on the missing kids alert. Remember, we had the 12-year-old and the 4-year-old who went missing yesterday. You might have got a buzz on your phone that sent people literally out into the streets looking for these children. I have a little bit more information on why and how they disappeared. But the questions we still don't know, that is ahead on Wisconsin's Morning News. 8:37 Wisconsin's Morning News. It is bitter cold. Wind chills are still below zero at the moment. I'm not sure when that will climb out. We are on our way to a high of 17, but got a ways to go.
We're six right now.
We are at six. And while tomorrow's high is 27, tomorrow morning is going to be stupid cold again as well, as inland lows will dip to right around 0 degrees. Be a little bit warmer if you're by the lake right now. Interesting parental conundrum at the moment.
Ooh, okay.
So a lot of parents have dealt with this as your children get older.
Yeah, give it to me. What do you got?
And this is cold related. So all the kids are in college now. My son Max is over at Marquette, which is literally just down the street.
Mm-hmm, sure.
Max has issued this text this morning. Is there any way you can pick me up at my dorm and drive me over to one of the halls on campus? I have a presentation to give today and I don't want to have to haul all my equipment across campus in the cold.
Well, so things you need to consider as you are pondering how to respond. I don't know if you've ever fed a pigeon before.
Yes, yes. See where you're going with this.
It's just something to consider.
Is this precedent setting?
Yes.
For obviously we would all help our children in some sort of emergency situation
of course.
This is discretionary to a degree.
Mm-hmm.
Do we want to set the precedent that, hey, when you ever need a ride for 3 or 4 blocks, that dad leaves work just because it's close, comes and picks your college butt up? Like, what if you didn't go to school right near here? On the other side is, well, he does, and that's great, and I'm glad that he's close. He doesn't come home often, but it's accessible, and
sure,
that's
right.
Fine.
It's another opportunity to see your kid.
Young man will be very cold.
Right. You want his presentation to
oh,
be
he wants
here?
To get picked. He just texted me. He wants to get picked up at 1:45. I'm hoping to not be here at 1:45, man.
Give him a certain number of them to use every semester. Like you get 3 rides.
3 passes, right?
3 passes
and then
each semester.
3 sounds
Once
like
you've
a lot,
used them
Debbie.
Up, you've used them up.
Ooh, yeah. I don't know. I'd say maybe one pass.
Again, you went to school away from home.
I did
as well. Like
right.
I didn't have this pass. But then I guess the other side is, well, okay.
So I'll give you one interesting conundrum at our house. So my kid is an hour away at Whitewater, and he's got finals next week, but he's got a gap in between his two, like he's got some on Monday, and then his next one's on Thursday or something. So there's like 3-day gap
yeah.
in there. And he's got rides and got good friends there that can help him back and forth. However, he's asking us, hey, any chance someone could come get me and bring me back, and then I could borrow a car and go back to campus on Thursday for my last stuff, and then just bring the car back later on Thursday.
Okay.
And my conundrum is I don't really want to spend 2.5 hours driving there to get you. I'm busy. I got other stuff to do. And like that other car that you want to borrow is going to be used anyway. Like other people
need that vehicle for things at my house.
And furthermore, who doesn't want to stay at school with 3 days of nothing to do?
I'd rather be in college.
That sounds awesome. I got nothing to do for a few days. I'm going out every single night. I'm sleeping till whenever.
See, I'm lucky, though. I don't have to worry about any cold stuff. It's too far for any help with cold stuff. That's different conundrum.
I mean, it's easy enough to do. The point is you want them to grow and learn and problem solve and whatever.
Yes.
And at some point, you want them to be able to do that on their own.
You cannot plow the road all the time, right?
145.
Right. That's up to you, man. I'm not going to give you any advice.
No advice for me. 841.
I just want to scream hello.
Bucks fans are screaming something right about now. My God, how long are we going to talk about this?
This is becoming the new tractor watch.
Ooh, and it's not, very good.
It's not as deliberate, maybe, as Favre or Rodgers, but it's out there again with the, are we going to trade Giannis? It's the new tractor watch, man.
Strangest day.
Why do we get stuck in this all the time? Does every other team in every other major league sport and city deal with this?
That's a good question.
Or is it just something uniquely us?
So whose fault is that?
Well,
that's a question that we can ponder while we walk through this. So, yes, a very odd day for Bucks fans on Wednesday. Not only did you hear the report that maybe Giannis was pushing for a trade, his people have been talking to the Bucks about his future, reports ESPN. Then there's a game, and this happens.
Is Giannis just sitting there right now, shaking his head? Did you see anything, Justin, to indicate
what the injury is? No, I just saw him go down is? And then immediately look to the bench and signal for a timeout.
Dave and Justin there on the Bucks broadcast on WDTMJ Radio. Giannis, early in the game against the Pistons, just goes down, non-contact injury, just kind of sits on the floor, waves to the bench right away. We would later learn it's his calf. Like a strained calf, which he has dealt with before.
Yes, we've seen this movie.
Yeah, the good news is that it wasn't an Achilles or anything like that. So don't have any word on prognosis or what that looks like, but he didn't finish the game. Now, just a couple of hours before the game, we were hearing this from the head coach.
Giannis has never asked to be traded, ever. I can't make that more clear.
Doc Rivers clearly frustrated with all of this. From a report from ESPN that Giannis and his agents have been having conversations with the team about whether he's a good fit here in Milwaukee or if he should move elsewhere. Now, we should point out the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel did a little bit more work on this. And the Journal Sentinel says that what they've learned is the Bucks do meet regularly with Giannis and his people. Like, that's a regular thing. Now, can't tell if that's unique or not. NBA is a different animal compared to, like, other leagues, where the players do have quite a bit of power and influence. So is that unique to the Bucks and to Giannis that they're having regular conversations all the time about just stuff? Or is that some type of power play and flex?
Yeah, outside of the current landscape, my thought on that is I don't love that. But you're right. The NBA is more coddling of its superstars than perhaps any of the other leagues. But it just seems odd to me of what... Okay, man, what do you know, like, well, we have regular meetings about the status of the team and whatever. What more is there to know? You signed the contract. It's a really good contract. It was the Supermax, Quadmax, whatever it was last time. You're super well paid. You're supposed to be here for the next year, maybe into another, you know, like, it's set. We're a quarter of the way into the season. What do we need to check in with you about?
Right.
Let's go play ball.
But as a superstar, internationally known,
that
who
makes
brings.
You feel better. Yeah, and you want to stay. And,
I mean, all kinds of things to the Bucks. I mean, think about what he has done.
Why do I always side with management? Right? I always side with management in the sports stuff.
Yeah, it's interesting. Actually, that's a whole different conversation.
Because here I get in trouble.
So here's what's fascinating.
I can't believe they're doing this.
So he goes down. The Bucks were down 18 to the league-leading Detroit Pistons. The Bucks come back and win the game. They come back from 18 down, end up winning the game. Kevin Porter Jr. would lead with 26 points. Here's what he said after the game.
Yanni, I'll just say this. There's a lot of outside noise. That's just what comes with it. And, you know, Yanni does a great job of assuring that he's wanting to be here with this group specifically.
So, okay, that's cool. So he's gotten support from him. Kuzma said something similar. Bobby Portis actually told reporters after the game, you know who texted the group text first? Number 34.
What's so crazy is Giannis the first person that texted in the team group message. Good job, fellas. Way to get a one. You know, it's a way to get one. So I haven't talked to him personally, but in the group message, yeah, he's the first one to text congratulating us on a win.
So, I mean, that's nice. He's a good teammate. Likes his teammates.
You don't ever hear teammates cracking on playing with Giannis.
No.
Like, there's no evidence of that or leakage from guys or complaining from within the room.
You do get right. The perception sometimes that, I don't know if it's opponents or what, have a little bit of eye rolling sometimes. I feel like eyes get rolled at him sometimes, whether it's because he has a flair for the dramatic, just a little bit, right? There's a little bit, yeah. And I absolutely adore him. We love it when it's our guy. Absolutely love him. I adore him. I think he's a phenomenal human. But there's a little bit of dramatics in there sometimes, right? You could say.
Well, the case in point of scrubbing the social media in what is a very clear message of some kind.
Thank you. So listen to this. This is what Doc said. He said the only reason this is coming up, and he was kind of pointing the finger at ESPN a little bit for the report. He said the only reason this is coming up now is because the team's been scuffling a bit.
The reason this is out is because we're not playing well. You know, when we started out the season, I heard guys said, man, they're going to be really good. You know, so let's just call a spade a spade. We're not playing well. We lost, had a tough loss the other night.
So is that fair? Is it really just because you've been scuffling, or is it because your superstar scrubbed his social media of all things Bucks and then didn't speak after the game on Monday? And then got hurt and now didn't have to speak again. Avoided, not saying he did it intentionally, I'm just saying he avoided having to speak to the media last night because of the injury.
And I think entirely his right to do that, but then you can't also then be shocked when people read into it.
Right.
Without any further explanation.
Whether or not you think it's a big deal or not, the intent was made for some purpose, and he's not stupid. He knows.
Right. He knows people are going to
jump
to various conclusions. See, that's where especially the Rodgers comparison, like he would do stuff and then he'd get all bent out of shape that the stuff he did caused people to wonder, well, what did you mean? Well, I don't know. I'm just doing it.
Right.
Come on, man. Like, you know, you did something that was going to rile everybody up.
Yeah, right.
You can't simultaneously go ahead and do that and then be surprised or shocked or upset that people reacted to it. Like, you know, the landscape in which you live.
So you hope it's just bygones be bygones, because multiple times Doc has said that he never talks about this stuff. This is not something that happens. And he got frustrated when he heard about, there's sources saying that he's looking for a trade. His point was...
The thing I keep saying is I go to the source. I talk to the source every single day. Every single day. And he loves Milwaukee and he loves the Bucks.
Me too. So let's...
Let's just never have a Wednesday again, which ended
like
well with the big win, though.
You know what? Appreciate those guys. Like Stephen, I would say they willed themselves to that win.
That was awesome.
They could really have gone in the tank and said, we're super down. Our guy's out now. We're talking about the trades. Everybody's mad. We're not playing well. They didn't lay down. In fact, they came back and won it. Mm-hmm. 8:52 on Wisconsin's Morning News.
WTMJ, W277-CV, and WKTI HD2 Milwaukee from the Annex Wealth Management Studios. This is News Radio WTMJ, a Good Karma brand station.
Coming up on the top of the hour, anything new, Eric, on the breaking news from earlier, the arrest? FBI made an arrest in connection with January 6th. Actually, more accurately, January 5th.
Right, yeah. It was the night before the riots at the U.S. Capitol. We're learning this morning that arrest has been made in connection with the pipe bombs that were placed outside the headquarters of the Republican and Democratic National Committees in Washington, right as the attack was starting to take place.
Sources tell us the suspect was arrested at his home this morning. Authorities believe he is the person seen on these various surveillance camera videos walking around the Capitol wearing a gray hooded sweatshirt, a mask, and a pair of Nike Air Max sneakers. The bombs were found roughly 16 hours after they were placed, discovered at a critical moment, just minutes before hundreds of supporters of President Trump began breaching barricades outside of the U.S. Capitol.
It's ABC's Pierre Thomas. So, yeah, the pipe bombs were placed January 5th. Everything happened on January 6th. No one was ever injured, but authorities said these things could have been lethal. And now there is a man in custody. That is all we know. Don't know anything else about the suspect.